It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. Yeah! I said a hip hop, the hibbity, the hibbity, the hip hip hopper. You don't stop. I rock it to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogity beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. See, I am Nestorius, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say, ump, jump, the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie. Let's rock. You don't stop. Rock the rhythm that'll make your body rock. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Simon. So come on, Simon, sing that song.
Oh, yo, it's the S, the I, the M-O-N. If you didn't hear once, then I'll tell you again. Don't make me grab a pen and write this rhyme. Stab you up in the eye and then take my time when I'm the type of guy, because I'm too fly. Yo, I came through. What the fuck you gonna do? I want to send a shout out to my man Dark Mark. Yo, we coming after the show, and you know we got to spark up because he poured me a little absinthe from Italy in the shit. I'm about to get... Yo, drinking absinthe, not giving a fuck, yo. I used to be absent in school, but now I flow. I do what I do. I hang out with Rich Corbin in the studio, too.
So pass on
and
the mic.
Beat ends there.
You gotta pass the mic to Rich.
Yo, dude, Dark Mark gave me absinthe, dude. I'm fucking drinking Italian absinthe.
Dark Mark gave you Italian absinthe.
Italian absinthe. I do clear your calendar.
Big up to Dark Mark and the whole Spank crew.
Big up.
You know what I'm saying? Whippity do that. You don't stop. Whoopsh, whoopsh. Anyway.
Yeah, clear your calendar, y'all. Drinking absinthe.
Yeah.
Bringing it to ya.
Yeah.
Telling all your children what they're supposed to do with their motherfucking lives.
Yeah.
Stay in school. Do your homework. Read up.
Smoke the ganja, man. Thursday night, yo. Welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. We're here live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Skid Row Studios down.com. Beautiful. We're live in beautiful, sunny, shitty, gritty downtown Los Angeles. If you are so inclined and you have paid your cell phone bill, you can reach us at 800-893-9562. Not going to expect it, but, you know, just in case. You know what I'm saying? Just in case there's two and the electric boogaloo.
If you have one of those phones that actually makes a call, your phone, it cooks toast.
Yeah.
You know, it downloads, it reaches the internet. Yeah.
It tells you where the cheapest gas is.
Yeah,
it tells you where your girlfriend's blowing your best friend, but it don't fucking make a call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if you happen to have one of those phone calls,
if you have one of those fucking phones, you know what I'm saying? Those, you know,
Yo, you don't understand. You know what pisses me off? People are like, oh, I don't answer block calls. Who the fuck are you, the Queen of England?
Yeah.
How does paparazzi are bugging you?
Hello.
I don't answer calls.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? No quieres. ¿Quién habla? ¿Quién? Hello.
Exactly. Thank you for calling us Skid Row Studios.
Anyway.
If somebody calls you from a number you don't answer, pick it up and say, hello, who is this? And then they'll be like, hi, this is, and then you'll know who the fuck it is.
And then you'll be like, you're calling the wrong. Yo, you want to hear some crazy shit? Nah, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. No,
wait, the people want to hear some crazy shit.
So I was doing some research because I got an email from one of the producers of the show about this transsexual porn star, right? That is looking to do shows, you know, to do shows here on Skid Row and then kind of like get a tour of the studio. So I'm like, I wrote the PR person a letter. I figured, fuck, man, we could use a tranny X-rated star here to interview her. You know what I mean? I don't know anything about transsexual porn, neither does Simon.
Yeah, it's hard to get a good tranny these days.
Well, I find it fascinating. Anyway, so I start Googling her. And I'm watching fucking some tranny porn, right? Just to see who she is.
Because it's a Wednesday.
And somebody knocks on my door, right? Now I'm in my shorts and no shirt and fucking slippers. Somebody knocks on my door. Now you know I got a doorbell where somebody's like. So I'm like, who the fuck is this? I open up the door. There's two of the most God ugliest fucking white chicks at the door. They're Mormons.
Sure. So
they're fucking, they're handing out Mormon pamphlets. And I look at her, I look at them right off the bat. I said, right now is not a good time. Yeah. You know it's not a good time. Yeah. I'm watching tranny porn.
You said that too.
Yeah, right now. Right now is not a good time. You understand me? Come back later. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yo, you know what I'm a big fan of?
What?
Mormon tranny porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, you know, Mormon trannies are just huge.
Well, there's multiple trannies there for one married guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you just, you know.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You do it for the Lord.
Yep, I get it.
More.
Yeah.
Mormon.
Gang banging chicks with dicks in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking
gang
about.
Gang banging, chicks with dicks, gang banging for the Lord,
yes.
Followed by refreshments in the social hall.
Yes, 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 yes. And some Bible study.
Yes. Yes. Bible study will be at 7, followed by a Mormon tranny gang bang,
yes.
Which will be followed by tea and cookies in the...
And herbal tea.
Yeah, in the Edward Shmulewitz social hall.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going to move on now?
I think it's time to move on.
Are we going to move on? We're going to move forward to like the serious part? Because we got to start the show a little wacky, you know what I mean? So we're going to continue the dialogue this week on you know, the racism dialogue that we've been having the past couple of weeks, started 2 episodes ago with Donald Sterling and all this other stuff. And last week we were talking about affirmative action in Michigan, banning affirmative action in college admissions. And, you know, I think I got a little riled up about it, you know. And I read an article with different opinions that kind of surmised everything that we were trying to say last week. So I'm gonna read about three paragraphs, and then we can comment on them or just move on. But this article kind of represents the pros and the cons of the affirmative action ban, whether affirmative action, you know, whether banning affirmative action is a discriminatory move, or is affirmative action really necessary, you know, 50 something years after it was originally initiated.
Depends on what side of the moon you live on.
Right. Right.
Hey, yo, bus it.
So Chief Justice John Roberts and the court's conservatives like to pretend we're now in a colorblind nation, said Dahlia Lithwick in Slate.com. But in Sotomayor's dissent, which, by the way, Sotomayor was the one that wrote this, read this whole fucking thing against the senators in when
and tell them who she is.
She's a Supreme Court Justice, Sonia Sotomayor. She's the first Puerto Rican, the first SPIC to ever be allowed to pass judgment in the Supreme Court. Mira, lo que te estoy diciendo que deje de estar jodiendo aquí, puñeta. Ok. Yo te dije que deje de estar jodiendo allí en la pared, porque te voy a dar 3 chancletazos en la cara y eso va a estar la justicia. Ok.
Some judges keep a .44 Magnum under the robe.
Well, she that's who Sonia. That's she who Sonia Sotomayor. Actually, I'm going to reread that again. But when Sonia Sotomayor, I didn't know who she was when she was voted in. I'm such a fucking. You want to talk about a bigot? I'm such a bigot. The first thing I thought was that she was going to come out and she was going to be like, hello, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for letting me take care of your children and mowing your lawn. It has been a long, arduous road for me to be the Supreme Court Justice. I am really honored that you let me do it, specifically a Puerto Rican and a woman. I promise to uphold the law and be the best justice representative that your money can buy. That's what I thought. And the bitch comes out and she's highly educated, man. This woman is like, anyway.
It's weird to have someone intelligent on the Supreme Court.
Especially when, you know, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Anyway, so let me go back. Chief Justice John Roberts and the court's conservatives like to pretend we're now in a colorblind nation, said Dahlia Lithwick in Slate.com. But in Sotomayor's dissent, which she chose to read out loud, she sharply reminded her white male privileged colleagues, race matters. Even today, she said, young black and Hispanic students come from homes with rates of unemployment and poverty double those of whites. And when they try to compete at The highest levels still face daily slights, snickers, and silent judgments that make them think, I do not belong here. To Sotomayor, this is no abstract legal argument. Having grown up in a poor Puerto Rican family in the Bronx, she personally benefited from affirmative action, eventually graduating summa cum laude from Princeton. So, we go on. But discriminating on the basis of race inevitably creates a problem of elementary fairness, said John Podhoretz in the New York Post. Why should a talented and hardworking white child of a poor waitress lose out to an upper middle class minority student whose grandparents suffered discrimination decades ago? Given how the world has changed, affirmative action no longer works, said David Frum in TheAtlantic.com. When the practice was introduced by President Lyndon Johnson a half a century ago, even the most affluent black citizen of the United States could expect to face humiliating economic and social discrimination. Today, class trumps race, and racial distinction have grown racial distinctions have grown blurry. One in six Americans now marries a person outside his or her own race, making the task of adjudicating racial preferences ever more baroque and absurd. Does the child of a dark-skinned Cuban with an Irish father qualify? What about the mixed-race children of an African-American Rhodes Scholar and a white millionaire? And we'll continue with one more. That's why today's affirmative action should focus on class, not race, said Richard D. Kallenberg in NewYorkTimes.com. Skin color is no longer a clear indicator of privilege, but wealth certainly is. The income-based achievement gap is now twice the size of the race-based achievement gap. Meanwhile, 92% of black students at elite colleges come from families in the top half of income distribution. Clearly, both black and white students at the bottom of the economic scale are being left behind. Class is important, but it's also not enough, said Jamel Bowie in Slate.com. While Americans like to imagine a future of mixed-race mutts, where color distinctions disappear, the reality is that the country remains highly segregated. The vast majority of blacks, including those with middle-class incomes, live in neighborhoods with high crime rates, low property values, and poorly funded schools. And despite the progress of some African Americans, most remain poor, with 4 in 5 coming from homes in the bottom 40% of income distribution. Black kids who grow up in poverty start out with a huge disadvantage, and it strongly affects their performance in high school and on standardized tests, so critical in college admissions. Consider class alone, and you'll miss this entirely. Anyway, those are you know, pro and con arguments on what we were talking about last week, and I think they were well covered there. So I just wanted to, you know, bring forth. Wapaman! I wanted to bring forth the enlightenment of the dissolution! Nah, man! No Jamaican! No white Jamaican dreadlock motherfucker coming to my college, man! If you black, you need to smoke the ganja first before you get admitted into a higher learning association, man!
Yeah, you know, if they start working on, like, income, because there are a lot of income-based and all that, but then if they get rid of affirmative action based on race and go on economic status, they're going to have some sort of, there's going to be a race issue with that as well, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, there's going to be a lot more whites getting in there as well, probably. So then they're going to have to do some kind of affirmative action within the affirmative action. There's going to be a race issue within the class issue.
My argument last week was that it's actually called reversed racism is what affirmative action is. Mm-hmm. So you're basically making it easier.
I don't believe in reverse racism.
That's okay.
Racism is racism.
I don't care. You look at it up and that's what it's called.
Yeah, I know. It's bullshit, though.
I hear you. But one can argue then, why should you have? I mean, I don't want to argue again.
No, we're not arguing.
We were talking.
No, we did last week's episode. Check out episode 47 where we discussed this. And then if you want to, it was an article in The Week called Affirmative Action Should Race Still Matter?
Well, that's I have a question.
Yes.
You know, we talk about like the bullying issue and how.
Bullying.
And how. And the argument about. No, listen. The thing.
Redskin.
Well, I'm just saying. We were talking yesterday about how the problem with bullying is it creates this culture where kids aren't able to compete.
Yes.
Do you think in some way that by having affirmative action, like, what about the concept of just only the strong survive? The best, the hardest working get
promoted. I don't want to engage in that because I want to move on to the Redskins. We can go on for like 40 minutes discussing this. I was just basically wanting to bring a professional pro and con of our discussion last week. I don't want to continue the discussion. I think we covered it fair enough. There's pros and cons to it. You know, we're going to give a big up to Maya Angelou, a rest in peace, and we'll discuss her life later on in the episode, and you'll see how affirmative action had nothing to do with a black woman succeeding in America at a time when blacks were nothing. So there's pro and con arguments to the whole thing, and I really don't want to... I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I want to move on. Last week, we also discussed the thing about is the whole point is banning affirmative action racist? It was what you brought to me the week before. And I don't think it's racist. Just like I don't think this big hoopla with the Washington Redskins, this has been going on for years. Where, you know, how many, 40 or something senators wrote to the Supreme Court or something?
They wrote to the NFL and to the Redskins.
They wanted to make the owner change the name finally. Been going on forever. So the owner of the Redskins, Bruce Allen, the president of the Redskins organization, wrote this long letter to...
A rebuttal letter...
To Senator Harry Reid, who was one of the guys who wrote the letter to the NFL board last week. So basically, he goes on to say that the term Redskins originated as a Native American expression of solidarity. Right? More than a decade ago, one of the foremost scholars of Native American languages, Smithsonian Institution senior linguist Ives Goddard, spent 7 months researching the subject and concluded that the word Redskin originated as a Native American expression of solidarity by multi-tribal delegations that traveled to Washington to negotiate Native American national policies. In his words, the actual origin of the word Redskin is entirely benign and reflects more positive aspects of relations between Indians and whites. Our use of Redskins as the name of our football team for more than 81 years has always been respectful of and shown reverence toward the proud legacy and traditions of Native Americans.
Another thing he said is that the logo was designed by Native Americans.
Right.
So in 1971, one of the Native American leaders of the United States, Walter Blackie Wetzel, was a former president of the National Congress of American Indians and chairman of the Blackfeet Indian Nation,
he was one of the people
that helped to create the Washington Redskins logo.
Right. Well, he worked closely with John F. Kennedy in the National Movement for Civil Rights. Mr. Wetzel's son stated that an Indian from the state of Montana created the Redskins logo and did it the right way. It represents the Red Nation, and it's something to be proud of. And so those are, I mean, he brings a couple of points. The last thing he said was, the other point that I found interesting, he said, an overwhelming majority of Native Americans do not find the name offensive. The highly respected Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania surveyed Native Americans nationally and reported that an overwhelming 90% of respondents said the name was not offensive. More importantly, Native Americans continue to embrace and use the name and logo. Many schools on Native American reservations proudly use the Redskins name and logo. And there's a photo here from Red Mesa High School, located in the Teak Nos Pos, Arizona, on the Navajo Reservation.
I think that's probably the strongest argument.
Right.
The fact that all Native American high schools are using the name and logo would mean maybe it's not offensive.
Right.
And if 90%...
Well, here's the deal. Is it offensive or is it racist? You see what I'm saying? The word racist, and this is part of the dialogue that we've been having for the past 3 weeks here, is that the word racist has been used to fucking describe any stupid little thing.
Well, but hold on. When you're talking about a team logo where people are, you know, the whole city of Washington, D.C., fathers take their children to go watch the games, racist, just being offensive to the Native Americans, is enough to change the logo, in my opinion.
Sure.
If it were really offensive.
Sure, sure. I was going to say that. I was going to say, if something is offensive, right, that's enough to warrant some sort of attention, right, to shed some light on it and go, well, we've offended 70% of the women. Remember that ad that was in LAX that's about an Asian-themed Las Vegas nightclub? And a bunch of women, Asian women, went up in an uproar about how it was fucking sexist, and they took the fucking sign down. Personally, I didn't think it was offensive, but if a lot of people find it offensive, then it needs some...
Which begs the question, who the fuck is offended?
Well,
it's a lot of white people running around with a lot of white guilt, or trying to pad their cause or their ACLU thing.
There's also the fact that the Redskins suck. Every year they predict them to do great, and every year they fall on their faces. So maybe if they change their name, I mean, like you had the Washington Bullets basketball team, which changed their name to the Washington Wizards because they didn't want to offend people who had been shot. Or what have you. And there was so much crime in the Washington area that they changed their name from the Bullets to the Wizards. Unfortunately, they've sucked ever since.
So why don't you fight to change the name of the Washington Redskins to the Washington Losers? Why don't you just do that, call it what it is, right?
Why don't you stop wasting money on free agents at the end of their career, and why don't you stop trading your entire draft for 2 years just to get a quarterback who tore his knee?
Right. Stop the bullshit. No, seriously, if you want to talk about racism...
Our sports commentator, Simon Kaufman.
The thing that fucking pisses me off, you know, and I'm a minority, you know what I mean? It just fucking pisses me off because, you know, racist, everyone fucking throws a term around, like... You know,
the term racist has gotten a new meaning essentially in people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, you just say the color of somebody's skin and you're automatically racist.
Yeah. I'm a racist because I made fun of an Asian language.
Yeah.
No,
right?
You're not racist because you're a minority and minorities can't be racist. They get to say whatever they want.
Well, you know, in Seattle, they don't call it Chinatown. That's now considered racist. It's the International District because...
What?
Yeah, you're not allowed to say Chinatown. It's the International. But when I went to the International District, I didn't see one Scandinavian pastry shop.
Right. Or a Swedish massage parlor. Yeah.
Didn't see one South African...
Right. Or a Norwegian hashish fucking cafe.
No, it's all Asians. But, you know, but their argument is, well, it's not just Chinese. Right. It's we have Koreans, we have Cambodians.
Shut the fuck up. Let shit be the way it is. You want to change something? Seriously, you want to change something? Change the way fucking kids are buying guns. You want to change something? Change the minimum wage so single mothers can fucking feed their children. So single mothers could maybe afford psychiatry for their fucking psychotic kids. You want to change something? Change the fucking healthcare system. Not a bullshit way of like, oh, you have to have healthcare, you have to have that. Fucking really change it. Make shit affordable so that everybody in this country could afford fucking things that are basic. You know what I'm saying? You want to change something? Change that. Stop fucking around with racist bullshit.
Well, I think one of the things that makes America fascinating is we are this melting pot. Where else in human history have, you know, people from all over the globe been thrown together in one country where everyone gets a vote and, you know, everyone has a say? This has kind of never been done before. And the problem with the melting pot recently is it's being brought to a boil.
You know what they should call it? That's an interesting point about the International District. They should just call it the International States of America.
Yeah. Yeah, because here's the deal.
Just
if you're white, let me explain something to you. If you're white in this country, you have a better chance of not being harassed in this country as an illegal alien than if you're a person of color. If you're Mexican, if you're black and you don't have a fucking passport or you weren't born here, do the fucking math. So you want to see who's racist? The Department of Homeland Security, the fucking immigration fucking department of this country, they're fucking racist.
Well, one of the problems with this country is it was founded in racism. I mean, from the beginning, we came over, we gave disease to the Aztecs, we gave disease to the Native Americans.
Aztecs were in Mexico.
I know, but I'm saying it, the whole continent was colonized. You know what I'm saying? People came there.
They shot fucking herpesin fucking sperm into Aztec fucking women's eyes.
Well, yeah.
They fucking ejaculated
The Aztecs, weren't they extinct or gone?
No. But check it out.
I mean, Aztecs are Mexican Indians.
Right, but check it out. We're going to move on.
We're going to move on.
Yes, we're going to move on. Because what I was talking, I had a segue before, but you fucking blew it, was gun control. We just had a serious fucking, another fucking mindless, possibly preventable fucking shooting spree here in Southern California. The University of California, Santa Barbara, with his fucking psycho opened fire. And he didn't open fire, but he stabbed.
Yeah, he opened fire. He stabbed people and then he opened fire.
No, he stabbed three of his roommates.
Yeah.
Who happened to be Asian. Cold stabbed them in his house. And then.
Is that racist?
No, because they were his roommates. So that kind of...
How slow reacting were his roommates? I mean, there's three of them, one of him, you know.
They were driving at the time.
Well, one of them was making...
video games and like,
You know what? We're not even going to make fun of that.
I'm not making fun of it.
No. What I'm saying is... That is straight up fucked up.
I agree.
Fucked up. Then he killed... he went in front of a sorority house and opened fire and killed like three women. And then he went in front of a cafe and I think shot one guy. So it's fucked up. His father was on the news pretty much blasting the politicians and these right-wing pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights Americans that they're responsible for this, that they're partly responsible for this, that, you know, we need to do something about the way... You know, the accessibility of guns. This kid was what, like 21 or something? 20? Something to that effect?
Yeah, he's a young kid.
He was really a young man. He went into a fucking gun shop.
20's the new 10.
Well, he went to a gun shop. And in California, I don't know how it is in other states, you can buy a gun, right, Rich? Explain to me the process.
California has stricter laws than other states.
Yeah, I believe you have to wait like 10 or 14 weeks to get to, you know, I bought a gun. And I had to wait it out. They checked it out.
No, what's the process? From beginning
to end. You go in.
Get an application. You got to fill out a background check.
Yeah, you go in. You pick out your gun. You take a little gun, you know, or say you're going to take a little gun class right then and there.
Right then? They'll give you a gun class?
They have gun classes. Depends on where you go. I went to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Right.
And,
if you go to Walmart, they'll show you a gun class right near the watermelon section.
You can buy a
shotgun.
They'll
show you some black people
and
be like, shoot at them.
Yeah, they'll show you the watermelon section and they'll wait until July 4th and then black guys will come and start eating and just shoot.
If you're shopping at Walmart, you already know how a gun works. You're just buying supplies.
So you picked out your gun. You take a bullshit like a 5-minute scuba diving lesson. Yeah. So you can scuba dive on your trip.
Multiple choice Q&A.
Oh, you don't even have to shoot the gun like at a gun range to show that you actually can shoot a gun.
No.
Okay, great. No. So what else? So then they process the application. They make sure that you're not a convicted felon. Mm-hmm. Anything under that, as long as you're not a convicted felon, you're qualified to buy and carry a weapon, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to buy a license right there from the gun shop, or is that municipality?
It's just in your name. The gun is in your name, the serial number, and all of that.
You need a concealed weapons permit, right?
You don't need a license.
To carry it concealed in public. Yeah. You can own a gun and have it on your property, in your house, and you don't need a carrier's permit.
Yes.
You just need to have it registered.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It has to be in your name. But you know what? Rifles and shotguns, I believe...
You don't have to have a concealed... You can actually...
Yeah, you can just walk out the door
with it. You can, as long as they're not loaded.
Hunting.
Yes.
Exactly.
You can carry them out in the open as long as they're not loaded. Yes. But my thing is, like, don't you think something's wrong where anybody, when I say anybody, I mean anybody, provided that they're not a convicted felon, can go and get a gun? No fucking psychological background test. No due diligence on the part of the seller or the state or the municipality to make sure that the person can actually operate a gun, right? You don't think something's wrong with that?
I think it could be a lot more specific. They should have some.
You don't think something's wrong with that? The question is, do you think something's wrong with that?
There's something wrong with everything, man.
No,
my
question.
Perfect.
Do you think something's wrong with that?
Something wrong with it. But what are you going to do? You know?
We don't got time for thoughts. I'm asking you a question.
Okay, are you going to pay the psychiatrist to give this? I mean,
no,
walks into a gun shop to buy a gun.
Hold it.
He goes in the back, lays on the couch to get his psychiatric evaluation.
Hold it, dude. I'm not asking you about whether who's going to pay the psychiatric fucking evaluation. It's very simple, okay? Who pays for a written test when you operate a vehicle? Who pays?
You do.
There you go. Who pays for the road test?
You do.
Do you have to fucking pass an eye exam to make sure that you could actually see a sign?
Yeah, but
do you have to fucking know what a sign means when you're on the road?
But what are you proposing? A guy walks into a gun shop. He says, I want a gun. He says, okay, great. I have the money. They say, go in the back. Dr. So-and-so will see you now. You lay on a couch. You talk about your mother.
No. Before you go in that shop, you have to have certain things. Before you can go into that gun shop, you have to have certain credentials.
So you go get a psychiatric...
On you. That's on you. You want the gun. That's on you.
Yeah, but
why should we have to pay?
You can pass those. Look, the cop showed up at this kid's house. He was nice. He was pleasant. He fooled them. And most psychotics and most psychopaths, when they're getting, to their 20s, they have to blend into society somewhat. Otherwise, I mean, if they're shooting people when they're 12, 13, 14, they're going to already be locked up. They have some sort of they've assimilated into society on a surface level, but underneath there's something fucking brewing, you know. And finally, this kid just got set off. He had it. He lost the will to live.
Okay,
you're not going to find that.
Okay, you don't think that something needs to get done.
I think? What I think? I think that there needs to be more guns.
You do.
I do, honestly. Okay. You know why? Because if everybody has guns or
that's
more
a retarded
guns,
argument,
no,
Rich.
I don't
not.
Think it is.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Because it levels the playing field.
It's retarded.
What about Florida?
Retarded.
Florida.
Let me tell you something.
Do you know how much the crime went down in Florida when everybody was able to carry guns around
with them? You know what the NRA's arguments are?
Here, I think there should be more guns.
That's one of the arguments. If everyone had a gun, no one would fucking think of going out in public and shooting people.
Well,
first of all,
you'd be able to stop the people
of
once
all,
it happened.
Really?
If everyone in a mall had a gun, you wouldn't be able to kill 40 people by the time
bullshit.
You get taken out. You wouldn't.
Bullshit, because the people who go shooting, they don't go, hey, stop, I'm going to shoot you. They fucking open fire without warning.
Exactly.
And you fire
so,
back.
So, well,
so
this
what do you do?
Instead of hiding under a desk. Joe over here on his 90 degrees off to the side there.
Right.
He
shoots
his
gun and kills the shop owner that's over there because he doesn't know how to shoot a gun.
Because everybody has a gun. Because if everybody has a gun, then they're going to go shooting. They're going to more than likely. And if you want to carry a gun permit, then you have to be specific. You have to take gun classes. You have to do all of that. That is the extra step.
Yeah. You know what? The other argument.
There's always another argument because nobody. There's always going to be the opposite.
The National Rifle Association. Okay, right-wing, Second Amendment, fucking pro-gun motherfuckers. Let me tell you, that's one of the arguments that they have. That's one of them, right there. If everybody had a gun, then no one would fuck around. Here's another one. Most criminals don't have registered pistols. So if you make everybody have a legal weapon or have their, have to go through all sorts of stuff, you're not gonna avoid a criminal from committing
you're
a
just
crime.
Gonna take it out of the hands of innocent
that's
people
what,
like
that,
Rich.
That,
that's true.
Right.
The problem
that,
is that not true?
The problem is
why is that not true?
This is another wonderful
because
NRA
what I'm
thing.
Saying
because
what
it's
I'm,
not the bullets, it's not the guns that kill people, it's not the bullets that kill people, it's the people who are pulling the fucking trigger.
Okay, you still have not addressed the issue, which is it is way too easy for anyone to get a gun.
Listen, they've made it harder and harder over the years to get guns. Before, you could just buy a gun. Then you could go to And then you could go to these fucking swap meets or whatever, these gun shows, and you can buy a gun. Now you can't do that. They're making it harder and harder to get a gun, and yet there's more and more killings. So they're going
the
wrong
way. More killings.
There is more
there
and more killings.
There are more and more killings.
More and more killings because it's been harder to get a gun. There's
but the things that they're doing.
No,
listen,
no,
listen
no, no. There's more
because
and more killings.
That they're doing.
No, no.
The things that are doing
isn't working. They're going in the wrong direction.
Because they're not doing anything. That's my point. They're not fucking... First of all, that asshole that went berserk in fucking Connecticut...
Really, 10 years ago, it was a lot easier to get a gun 5 years ago. 10 years ago and 20 years ago...
50 years ago, it was really easy
to get a gun. Both of you guys...
So they're going in the wrong direction.
50 years ago, your grandfather would give you a gun on your birthday.
Okay, both of you guys are retarded. Okay.
No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Because you're missing... You're missing the whole fucking point, okay? You see the fucking Sandy Hook.
Move to Canada. You see the Sandy Hook. They don't have guns.
You see the Sandy Hook guy? He took his mother's weapons. His mother's weapons were not fucking. They weren't locked. So why does this guy, who's mentally not capable of passing an entrance exam into kindergarten, have access to a gun?
Let me ask
you a question.
That's my question.
Let me ask you a question.
I have no problem with doing psychological evaluations on people on the person's
time. I like that idea too.
Fine. That's great.
Oh, so you like that idea?
I don't mind
that. That's the whole fucking point all I was trying to say.
You're going
to
implement it.
That's all I was trying to say.
But it's another thing that they're going to implement.
That is necessary.
Listen, there's another thing that they're going to implement that's going to take longer to get the gun, right?
So what? What are you in a rush to get a gun for?
Because then it makes it harder to get and people will want it more. Okay.
What are you in a rush to get a gun for?
Just like the whole thing of waiting 10 days to get a gun, it still didn't stop this kid from getting the gun. And if he goes in and passes a psychological review, he's going to get
the gun. He's not going to pass a psychological review.
Yes, he would.
No, he's not.
Absolutely.
No, he's not. If you look at his writings for the past fucking whatever... The guy's fucking clearly out of his mind.
The psychological review is going to be done by an independent board. You're going to go to the psychological review board where it's going to be another fucking office that's going to be paid by you, by our taxes. And it's not going to be done. It's not going to be done by your therapist because not everybody has therapists.
No.
Look, we are
It's not paid by our taxes. It's paid by you. You're the one that wants to get a fucking gun.
Oh, so then if you don't have a therapist and you go and
you got to get a therapist.
Well, then that kid.
Here.
Listen.
There's a board. A stop, fucking therapist.
Stop talking. That kid could go and get another fucking therapist. He doesn't have to stick with his therapist. He just says, you know what?
Fine.
It's the implementation.
So then he'll pass because he knows
how to. They'll be regulated therapists in every county.
Since he was 9, he knows how to outsmart these people because he's psychotic.
Okay.
Listen, let me ask you a question.
So you're saying,
let me ask you a question. If we banned guns, would violence go away? Would gangs
did
go
I
away?
Say, did I say? Did I say banning guns? Anybody
said? I'm just saying. People are saying let's ban guns.
No one is talking banning guns
people
here.
People are talking banning guns.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that.
All I'm saying is.
That's the problem.
We're looking at the wrong issues.
Rich and people like Rich are saying we need more guns. That's what we need, right? And then you got.
We're saying we need checks and balances.
And then you got other people that are saying we need to ban guns. So that's the problem. All or nothing. No one's talking about all or nothing. We're talking about something needs to be done to regulate how anybody can just go get a weapon.
I think if we banned guns, we'd become a more violent society. We're a far less violent society than we were in the Middle Ages.
I'm saying, if we ban guns,
better teach your kids how to swing a sword because there's still going to be drug cartels. There's still going to be organized crime. There's still going to be gangs.
Look up China right now. They don't have guns in China, but you know what? There's people there's news stories all the time of people going into schoolyards and slashing 20 kids and killing them with knives. You know why?
Yeah, violence
because they can
isn't
get
going
a
anywhere.
Knife.
That's what people in the gun debate need to understand.
Who's talking about violence?
We're talking about violence.
No, we're talking about random psychotic fucking people going berserk and killing innocent people.
You're blaming guns, but when
you're not blaming guns. You're blaming the fact that guns are so easy to get.
So's a knife.
Rich is saying they're not easy to get. You're saying that our country or our society has become less violent than 500. Yes, you did. You said that it's become harder to get. Same difference.
I didn't say it was hard. I said it's become
harder to get.
But you can still get them. I never said it's hard to get.
You said
they just delayed.
You said that our society has become less violent than the Middle Ages. What kind of a fucking asinine comparison is that? Who gives a fuck?
Because what I'm saying is, if you banned every single gun from the people.
Who's saying banning? Why do you keep saying banning?
I'm just giving you an example. If you took guns away, violence would not go away.
Who is talking? You're arguing and you're presenting
violence. We're talking about gun control is about violence.
You are fucking talking about something that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
We're talking about random violence.
You're talking about banning guns. No one is talking about banning guns. Again, I'm going to reiterate.
People are in this society talking about banning guns.
So then let me step back again. That is the fucking problem. People are either all or nothing. No one's in the middle. No one's willing to meet in the middle to come to some sort of a resolution. Everyone's like, no, all black or all white.
There's no middle.
That's why nothing's going to get done.
There's no middle. We just keep going and making more restrictions and making more stupid loopholes that people can easily jump through. That's all it is. That's all they're doing. They're going in the direction of making more restrictions or lengthening the time that you can get a gun. But, you know, aside from...
And you don't believe in that?
I don't care.
You're saying it should be easier.
I don't care one way or another. No, I don't. I'm not saying it should be easier. Don't put that in my mouth.
Well,
I never said that it should be easier.
You seem to be perturbed by the fact that it's been harder and harder, and legislation has been brought forward to make it
to get
a gun.
But let everybody carry them in public. That's what I'm saying.
Just let them.
Yes.
So basically.
Do you realize recently passed a law that allows people in California to get to make it easier to carry a concealed weapon? Because if you weren't a bodyguard or a police officer or somebody that is in that type of, like, if you owned a jewelry store, then maybe you could get a concealed weapon if you had to go to the bank every night. But then it would be, you're probably not going to get it. Now they just repealed the law that allows, that makes it a lot easier for people to carry a concealed weapon in this state. They just did that a couple of months ago.
Let me tell you something. In Los Angeles, and then we'll move on. In Los Angeles.
It's very difficult.
In Los Angeles, you don't need a gun to go mass murdering people. Do you know what the highest rate of fucking killings in LA is? Vehicles.
McDonald's.
Vehicular hit and runs. Okay, so you can argue that
that's great. Then everybody should be able to have guns because nobody's killing each other with guns. Just take the cars away from everybody.
We got to move along.
Yes, I know we do. I think that this is a very heated debate. I've had it a few times with people. And
I love it.
And we'll revisit.
That's why we got to bring back gun duels.
And we'll revisit it.
Just have two people shoot each other. Last one standing, boom, you win.
Listen, the cops.
Well, we'll revisit it. We're going to move on.
One more thing.
No, we're going to move on.
The cops get better weapons as the bad guys
get
better
weapons.
We're going to
move on. We'll revisit this.
Prime example.
So we want to give Nestorius Public Radio. We want to honor and give. First of all, we want to send our condolences to the families and the victims and everybody who was affected by that UC Santa Barbara situation. That's fucked up. Once again, the spotlight is up. Anyway, so Maya Angelou just passed. I think it was yesterday, right? Last night?
Yeah.
So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time highlighting who the woman was, what she did, because we all know her as Oprah's friend. But the fact is that the woman was a very... Hello?
Oh, my God. And the life that this woman had, and you're bitching about fucking nothing on TV.
Well,
not you, but...
No, I know.
You know, people are bitching about the internet's down.
This is why I bookended this, all right, with the affirmative action conversation and then Maya Angelou. So Maya Angelou was born Marguerite Johnson in St. Louis, April 4th, 1928, which, by the way, was the same day that Martin Luther King was shot, April 4th. And I read that for 6 years she wouldn't celebrate her birthday. After Martin Luther King was shot.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, San Francisco. She was San Francisco's first African-American female streetcar conductor. Okay? We'll get back to that. And she did that without affirmative action, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Okay? She was... Check this out. She was a prostitute. Okay? She was a stripper. She was a singer. She was an actress. She was nominated for a Tony Award in 1973 for a play that opened and closed after one night. That says a lot about her fucking performance, all right? The show was closed after the night, but yet she was nominated for a Tony Award. That's a big deal. She was a dancer, director, poet, author, mother, and wife, a few times over.
You know, I lived a block away from Maya Angelou when I lived in New York. I never had a chance to meet her. I always was hoping I would be walking my girlfriend's dog down the street and
dude,
I'd get a chance
racist,
to see
man.
Her.
Dude, you're a racist, man. You're a racist. Every fucking little old lady that's black, you fucking think it's Maya Angelou.
I know.
Yo, Maya. Yo, Maya.
Five times. Yeah,
met her. Changed her hair a lot.
Yeah, I met her five times, man. But
I never met her,
but
I said.
But I couldn't recognize her because, you know... Anyway, let me finish this.
Yeah, I met her on Match.com. What the fuck are you talking about?
Put that picture up.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So throughout her writing, Ms. Angelou explored the concepts of personal identity and resilience through the multifaceted lens of race, sex, family, community, and the collective past. As a whole... Her work offered a clear-eyed examination of the ways in which the socially marginalizing forces of racism and sexism played out at the level of the individual. Very powerful.
Well,
woman.
You know what's interesting? Because we were talking about affirmative action, and now we're talking about Maya Angelou.
Yes.
Maya Angelou, when she was a young girl, wanted to work as a streetcar conductor,
right.
But they wouldn't hire her. They wouldn't even give her a job application.
I'm going to get into that.
Well, one of the things I find fascinating about the story is... She wanted the job. They wouldn't give her the application.
Yes.
So she showed up and sat in the office every day from 9 to 5 for 2 weeks until they gave her the job.
Right.
So any child in the inner city right now who feels as if he doesn't have what it takes to get ahead, you do. It's called your ass. Go fucking move your ass.
No, it's called
hustle.
It's
called hustle.
It's called perseverance.
Hustle your ass
tenacity.
And persevere. Exactly.
It's called...
Get a little gusto.
Get the fuck off of Facebook. Stop tweeting. Mm. Get some fucking good shoes. Listen, it was a different time back then. If you look at how
people were tougher.
People were just not more tougher. If you look at how people were dressed back then, everyone dressed a certain way. Nowadays, kids look like fucking bums. You couldn't get a job. You remember homeboy that used to work in here? He had fucking ripped jeans. You remember homeboy? His fucking shoes had holes on the bottom, but yet he had his medical marijuana card. And he always had a good supply. You see what I'm saying? The priorities, no, I'm serious. The priorities are completely ass backwards.
Well, I'm saying what I mean? Like this. If no one's giving you a job,
right?
You know what you do? You show up at that place and you say, hey, I'm going to work for free for 1 week.
There you go.
After 1 week, if you don't like the way I work, I'll bow out.
I'll leave. You don't have to pay me.
I promise you.
You don't have to pay me.
I promise you you'll have a job after a week if you hustle, if you move your fucking ass. Don't just sit around. You can't even move your ass because your pants are down half the crack of your ass. The faster you move, they're going to fall down.
That's what I'm saying. It's perseverance, man. It's fucking perseverance.
It's vision, desire, faith in yourself.
Focus.
It's desire,
not
faith,
it's
moving forward.
It's focus, not.
Well, everyone in the hood wants a Bentley. No one wants to start with a Geo Metro.
Right, right.
Like,
no
you start with a Geo Metro.
No one wants to start with a skateboard.
Yeah,
no one wants to start with a skateboard.
No one wants to start where they're at.
Yeah. Episode 3. Live within your means, man.
Live within your means,
live within
man.
Your means, man.
Big
up to all your motherfuckers that pay for your school. That pay for your children's kids' meals. That pay for your underwear. What you're saying, look, you want a job, what you should do is apply for a gun, right? This is what you should do. You go to Walmart, you wait your 2 weeks out, you apply for a Glock, get a couple of hours worth of ammunition. You go into some place and you go out, you do it the right way. I'd like to apply for this job, sir. They say, no, why? Well, we're not hiring. Then you, what do you mean you're not hiring? You whip out the Glock, you put it on his fucking dome plate, and you fucking tell him, what do you mean you're not hiring? Get the fuck on your knees right now and start sucking it, because now I'm hiring. I'm hiring now.
Yeah. For all you listeners out there, if you don't feel life, if no one's giving you an opportunity, get a fucking gun. Blow people up.
Yeah.
You know, learn to build home bomb devices. Subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to read the exact chain of events that how she got that streetcar. It was actually a beautiful story, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Because she moved to San Francisco with her mom and she liked the uniform that the streetcar conductors were wearing. So she said, I think I'd love that job. So basically, in 1944, at the age of 16, Maya Angelou walked into Muni's, which is the name of the streetcars there in San Francisco, personnel department, to ask for an application to become a streetcar conductor. She had moved to San Francisco from St. Louis with her mother, Vivian Baxter, and dropped out of high school 2 years earlier. She had always admired the tailored uniforms the female streetcar conductors wore, outfitted with change dispensers on the front, and she thought to herself, that's a job I want. But San Francisco's municipal railway had hired only a few black people by that point, and they refused.
But no woman.
No woman. Well, no, they had white women.
No black women.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. But San Francisco Municipal Railway had hired only a few black people by that point, and they refused to even give Angelou a job application. Hold on a second. It says some reports. Never mind that right there. Okay. She went home to her mother and told her what had happened. And as she recounted to Oprah last year, it was her mother's advice that helped her get her job after at first being denied. So my mother asked this. This is Maya Angelou. My mother asked me why, you know, she didn't get the job. And she says, do you know why? I said, yes, because I'm a Negro. She said, yes, but do you want the job? And I said, yes. And she said, go get it. Here, I'll give you money every day. You go down and be there before the secretaries get there. You sit there in the office. You read one of your big, thick Russian books. I was reading Dostoevsky or Tolstoy or whatever the fuck, something at the time. And when they go to lunch, you go.
Dostoevsky,
but the other one is Tolstoy. Tolstoy.
Leo Tolstoy.
There you go. Go to a good, and when they go to lunch, you go. Go to a good restaurant. You know how to order good food. Then go back before the secretaries. Get back from lunch and sit there until they leave. I did all that. They laughed at me. They pushed out their lips, used some negative racial slurs. But here's the thing. I sat there because I was afraid to go home. I was afraid to tell my mother that I wasn't as strong as she thought I was. So I sat there for 2 weeks every day. And then after 2 weeks, a man came out of his office and he said, come here. And he asked me why I wanted the job. And I said, I like the uniforms. And I said, I like people. And so I got the job. One thing that's interesting, you know, her mother owned, a general store or something. So they came from not really fucked up backgrounds, 100%. And she ran card games. So her mother had money. Obviously, to give her money.
Well, she understood the concept of competing.
Right.
Competing for what you want in life. Not just sitting back and hoping, but actually getting out there and saying, you know, I want this, and I'm going to fucking work for it. Right. I'm going to compete. I mean, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You sit, you know, it works.
But well, it was fostered from her mother, though, too. Her
right.
mother.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Her mother
yeah.
gave her the tools and said, you want it? I'll help you. I'll do it. You know, yeah. I mean.
Well, here's the argument that could be said now. How many people's mothers are that supportive?
Well, because they're never around, because both parents are working.
They may not have the money.
Well, a parent can only teach you what they know.
Right. But to bring the whole thing around with affirmative action, it's like there's pros and cons to everything, but you can't say that every person who comes from an underprivileged background or from a welfare neighborhood or from below the top 40 fucking percent of earners do not have a chance. Because this woman right here, she blasted all those fucking stereotypes. She became that and then some. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So a big up to you, Maya. Rest in peace. God bless you wherever you are. We give you big love. We give you a big... Big up. She's
it's
awesome.
Sad. You know, there's really only a couple people in a generation that are like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they usually are black, just so you know. Black, like five blacks and maybe one Latino. And that one was already taken by Sonia Sotomayor. So there's all you spicks out there, give it up. It ain't gonna happen. So we're gonna leave on this short, stupid story. So this is a true story, right? A Nigerian man who was arrested for having sex with a goat insisted that he asked the animal for permission first. Village elders handed Malam Kamisu Baranda, who's 20 years old, to police after he was caught being intimate with the animal. He told officers that the ruminant had consented. And that since he'd had sex with her on at least 10 occasions without incident, he assumed he was doing nothing wrong.
It was consensual goat sex.
A court sentenced him to 2 weeks in jail.
He's actually going to be getting a show on Skid Row Studios soon.
He'll be on Dark Mark.
I'm telling you, you're fucking the goat. You're fucking the goat. I'm telling you, that was supposed to be our food. You are no fucking good. I told you, that was supposed to be our food. You got to go to the police.
What do you whisper in a goat's ear before coitus?
And then...
Bah! Bah! Bah!
If that was in the United States, that guy would get like 3 months work, community service on a goat farm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, that wraps up our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to Nestorius Public Radio. Remember, we hit Thursday night live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to our show. Hit us up on Facebook / Nestorius Public Radio. All right, peace.
Encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta encourage.